Forgotten World by Edmond Hamilton. Stranger from the Stars. Carlin was the only one of the 400 passengers on the Larkum who hated the starship and everything about it. He was bored with the vessel and everyone aboard. A pack of chattering idiots. For the 100th time since leaving Canopus, he told himself that he was a monumental fool to let that psychotherapist talk him into this crazy trip. A blonde girl from Altair 4 came tripping along the deck and favored Laird Carlin with the bright smile that all the younger feminine tourists had practiced on the tall, dark, dour-looking young man.
"Oh, Mr. Carlin, the annunciators just said that we're only 8 hours from Sol. By night, we'll be on Earth. Isn't it thrilling?"
"Just what is thrilling about it?" Carlin asked sourly. The girl was a little dumbfounded.
"Why, I mean Earth. All the ancient history we study in schools, about how the men first came from there 2,000 years ago, or was it 2,100?
She prattled on, voicing all the appropriate clichés.
"Just think, all of us in this ship came from different stars and worlds, yet long ago all our ancestors lived on that one little world Earth. And they say it's still much the same as it was then. Isn't it wonderful?"
Carlin could not see anything wonderful about it, and a little wearily he said so. The girl flushed in exasperation.
"Then why are you going to Earth at all?"
Why indeed, Carlin wondered savagely. Why the devil wasn't he back on the other side of the galaxy, where he belonged, supervising establishment of the new starship line to Algol 6, spending his leaves in Sun City with Neela? Neela. He yearned for her, for her gay, mocking humor, her cool beauty, her quick, clever mind. What was he doing here with a bunch of bird-brained tourists who were conscientiously tripping for local color to an old, forgotten world? This whole part of the galaxy was a stagnant, half-dead area. This side of Vega, there weren't a score of suns with worlds of any importance. And the old Larkum, a second-rate starship that couldn't make more than 80 light-speeds, was plodding determinedly and monotonously on into it. Curse that psychotherapist anyway. Why had he been crazy enough to listen to the fellow? That smug, pink, blinking Arcturian had smiled as gently as a well-bred pussycat as he told Carlin what his trouble was.
"Star sick?" Carlin had flared. "What do you mean, star sick? I've made the trip to Algol 10 times in the last 3 months."
The psychotherapist had nodded.
"Yes, and that was 9 times too many. You've been overdoing it for a long time, Mr. Carlin."
Before Carlin could protest, the other man had referred to the dossier on his desk.
"I have your record here. Born at Aldebaran 4 30 years ago. Graduated at 22 from Canopus University with the degree of cosmic engineer. Worked since then establishing spaceports for starship lines between Rigel, Sharak, Tibor, Algol, and other stars."
The psychotherapist looked up gravely.
"The point is that you've spent 50% of your time in the last 8 years in starships. The average has been 70% since you took charge of establishing the new Algol line, and that's too much time in space for any man. No wonder you're starsick."
"Blast it, I'm not starsick," Carlin exploded. "What kind of therapist are you? I come here to have you treat a perfectly simple syndrome of reflex fatigue, and you tell me all this?"
The Arcturian shook his head wisely.
"Your case was only simple on the surface, Mr. Carlin. The hypnosis showed up your trouble unmistakably. Want to hear the record?"
Carlin heard it, and it wasn't pretty. Not pretty to hear his hypnosis-freed subconscious yelling out a frantic hatred of space and starships and everything connected with them.
"You see," said the Arcturian gently, "this has been building up in you for a long time."
Carlin was stunned. He had known of other men who had got starsick and had had to drop their work and quit traveling space for a while. other men, but he'd always laughed contemptuously at them for it. The psychos might declare that it was perfectly natural for a man to develop a subconscious aversion to space if he crowded his work, but the hard-bitten engineers of Cardin's set believed that a starsick man was 9 times in 10 a shirker. And now he himself was told he was starsick.
"You've got to quit work and stay out of space for a while,"
the Arcturian therapist told him. Cardin felt sick at heart.
"Then all my work in building up the Algol line will go into young Brewer's hands."
Still, he thought after a moment, it might not be so bad. Working in his line's main offices here on Canopus II, he could keep in touch, and he would have more time here with Neela. But the psychotherapist shook his head quite decisively at that.
"No, Mr. Cardin, your case is too dangerous for that. Your subconscious is twisted into a knot that is going to be hard to untie."
He hesitated a moment, as though he knew what reaction his next words would provoke.
"In fact, there's only one way in which you can be normalized. That's the Earth treatment."
"Earth treatment?" Cardin didn't even know what it meant.
"You mean some treatment that has reference to the old planet over on the other side of the galaxy?"
The Arcturian nodded.
"Yes, our ancestral planet Earth, where all our race came from 2,000 years ago, where you're going back to for perhaps a year."
Cardin was knocked breathless by that calm statement.
"Me? Going to Earth for a year? Are you crazy? Why should I go there?"
"Because," the therapist said soberly,
"if you don't, I'm afraid you won't last another 6 months as a Starline man."
"But why can't I take a rest right here on Canopus II?" Cardin demanded heatedly. "Why send me to that moldering, forgotten old planet, where there's nothing now but a few historical monuments?"
"You've never been to Earth, I take it?"
the psychotherapist asked thoughtfully. Cardin made an impatient gesture.
"I'm not interested in ancient history. That part of the galaxy is all backwater."
"Yes," the expert said, "I know that.
But old and small and forgotten as it is these days, Earth is still important."
"To historians," Cardin snapped. "To people who like to poke in the dusty past." The Arcturian nodded and shrugged.
"And to psychologists," he said quietly. "Most people these days don't realize something. They don't realize that we, all of us, are still really Earthmen in a way."
He held up a protesting hand.
"Oh, I know we don't think of ourselves like that. Since those first Earthmen pioneered to their neighbor planets and then to the stars, since our civilization spread out over most of the galaxy, 100 generations of us have been born on different star worlds from Rigel to Fomalhaut. But except for local modifications, the type of humanity has persisted since our ancestors left Earth and Sol long ago. That's because we've altered star world conditions to fit ourselves, instead of adapting ourselves to those conditions. We've cunningly changed atmospheres, gravities, everything, wherever we went. We've kept ourselves one race, one type that way. But it's a type that is still indexed to that old plain Earth as its norm.
Does that explain why I have to give up my work and go live on the old relic for a year?" Cardin demanded furiously.
"Yes, it does,"
the Arcturian replied.
"We're a star-traveling race now, but the mind can take only so much of the strain of star travel. Overdo that strain, and you get a revulsion. You get star sickness. Then the only cure is rest for the mind in completely normal conditions. And complete normality for us descendants of Earthmen is Earth."
Cardin had stormed. He carried his wrathful resistance to the last pitch. And then the psychotherapist had crushed him.
"I've turned in your psycho record to your starship line. You'll not be allowed to work there until you're cured."
And that, Laird Carlin thought bitterly, was why he was sprawled in a deck chair here on the Larkum, as the old tub creaked and labored and plodded through space toward the yellow spark of Sol. A year, he thought in impotent rage. A year in that hole! I might as well be dead. The psychotherapist had held out the hope that it might not take a year. Some cases of star sickness responded quickly to Earth treatment, but even a few months seemed an eternity to Carlin. The passengers of the Larkum were crowding toward the transparent wall of the deck. Earth was coming into sight. And all these people, men and women bronzed by the glare of Canopus, reddened by the desert winds of Rigel's worlds, paled by the mists of Altair's planets, all were watching with an intense and eager expectation. Carlin walked wearily over to the deck wall and watched with them. Sol ahead was a small and undistinguished yellow sun. Its orb was unimpressive to eyes that had looked on Antares and Altair. And the planets that circled it were so little that Carlin could hardly make them out. He remembered half-forgotten names from ancient history. Saturn, Jupiter, Mars. And that little gray-green dot beyond must be Earth. "Isn't it tiny?" babbled a rapturous, overweight woman beside Carlin. "I think it's cute." A very young man from Mizar 7 proudly aired his knowledge. "That satellite beyond it is Luna, its moon." "The moon is almost as big as the little planet," exclaimed someone, laughing. Carlin found their chatter getting on his nerves and edged further along the deck. In gloomy silence, he looked down as the Larkum swept in swift, almost soundless rush toward the little planet. A gray-green, cloud-screened ball spinning around a second-rate sun. It looked like the end of the universe to Carlin. And he might have to spend a year here. His spirits sank still lower. "They say you can get the most wonderful souvenirs here," one of the tourist voices reached him. Carlin writhed. He would be glad to get out, even at Earth, to get away from this bunch of babbling fools. He realized his irritability was extreme, unreasonable. It was the result of his star sickness, he supposed. But that didn't make it any more endurable. "Landing in 10 minutes," spoke the annunciators throughout the ship. "Stasis going on." The dim glow of the force stasis that cushioned everything in the ship against the pressure of deceleration came on like a tangible medium around them. The big propulsion wave generators droned in lower key. Swaddled in the cushioning force, they felt no discomfort as the Larkum quickly dropped toward the little planet. Atmosphere screamed briefly outside the ship. They came down through a belt of clouds. "That's the city, New York!" cried an eager voice. "The oldest human city in the galaxy!"